guy that'll be running around the on-deck event, joins us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He is our insider, Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com, MLB.com, and nothing to report today. Adam, how are you?
Hey, good. Yeah, I'm on the pipeline. Second base rankings came out, and the Brewers had two guys up there, and here in Eason Diaz, so there's news.
Well, that is news, and
not the kind of news you guys, not the kind of news you're looking for right now.
No, was there some? Okay, let me rephrase. Do the Brewers have a shot at Darvish?
You know, yes. I think I was joking with Tausch on this in the way in, like no, but I mean the answer is actually yes, because I just feel like David Stearns is the kind of GM who will surprise us at various points in his tenure. I think he's already surprised us with a couple of deals. You know, minor one, but I remember getting the call about the Jason Rogers trade and going, wait, what? It was totally outside of the box. So I think he's going to be the guy, the type of GM to kind of surprise along the way. And Darvish would certainly be a surprise. But the little bit I know about you, Darvish, I'd be very shocked if he ends up a Milwaukee Brewer.
Yeah, he kind of seems like he enjoys the finer things in life that are more accompanied in L.A. and New York.
Big market.
Yeah. I think he's a guy who wants to be comfortable. I do think that, you know, he's a free agent, so he gets to choose his market. I'm not certain that this would be at the top of his list. But, look, it's a weird winter. And there's going to be a lot of players, really good players, and I would put Yu Darvish in that camp, no matter what happened in the World Series, who are just not, you know, who are going to have to go where they can go. And I think that's why the actual answer, do they have a shot, is yes. Because if the Brewers can put together an offer that's compelling, I think you'd consider it.
Yeah, and I would think that he got creative in that offer, maybe an opt-out plan. And maybe it's just, as you said, it's been a weird offseason. Maybe it's just trying to get in first just in case someone buckles a little bit. And they just say, hey, man, maybe him and his agents just say, hey, man, we better take this money now. We don't know where this thing's going.
Well, I think that general idea explains a lot about what the Brewers have been doing all winter, because they have been linked to some free agents that on the surface just don't, they would have never been linked to going in. So Lorenzo Cain, the Brewers have tons of outfielders. Why would they be interested in Lorenzo Cain? Mike Moustakas, they have 4 years of control remaining, 31 homer, emerging player in Travis Shaw. Why would they be interested in Mike Moustakas? I think the answer is that this regime just looks at a million different scenarios. And, you know, I think with the rise of the analytics, it's not just brainstorming what you think this guy could do and what you think he could do for our team. They now have mechanisms to plug in all these different combinations of players and see what it does, what it says, what the projections say you would get out of it. So, you know, I'll use Lorenzo Cain as an example. Let's say the Brewers sign Cain, then flip some outfielder for a starting pitcher and add that in. Instead of just like theorizing about what that could do for your club, they plug it into their models. So all these GMs, now they, each team has their own proprietary model. They plug it into the computer and they see what comes out. And I think it's leading around the game. I think this is one of the factors in things slowing down a little bit, is that to me, teams seem to be considering way more options, outside-of-the-box options, than they did before.
Yep.
And I think part of the reason for that is it's not just, you know, it's not just brainstorming and theorizing anymore. They do have some data to go along with it. And it allows them, I think, to consider more options. That's just my own personal theory, and I think it helps explain why the Brewers have just been linked to so many different free agents. And you know, but yet there's been a little movement outside of the three guys they picked up.
Well, and Adam, I've been just fascinated with this, the lack of movement around baseball and how it's changed up right now. It seems to be kind of at a tipping point of where teams are looking at changing the idea of when a guy's athletic prime is. I mean, the model right now where you're paying dirt for the first 3 years, and then you hit arbitration for another three, and then you're paying guys for possibly their physical decline. Yeah. I know we're far away from 2021 when the new CBA is going to have to come up, but do you think this is where the game is going, or do you think this is more of an anomaly, teams waiting for next year with the three studs of Machado, Kershaw, and Harper?
Well, that's part of it. And look, this is I'm not going to be able to give you a clean answer, because to me, what's happening this offseason, and everybody's looking for the answer, but I think it's more of a perfect storm of a bunch of different factors. Number one is what you mentioned. Next year is a huge free agent class. And I think teams like – I'm certain that when the Bruins did their planning going into, say, when David Stern took over, this next offseason, 2018-2019, had a big red circle around it, because if they developed well – they would have money to spend. They would be a prime team to be very active in that offseason. Well, now last year, competing down to the very end kind of changed the timeline a little bit. But that offseason, more generally in baseball, next winter's free agent class, I think, is part of it. Part of it is GMs are less, less maybe emotionally driven now than in the past. They are more data driven. Mm-hmm. And I think that is slowing things down a little bit. The other big thing, I think, guys, is all over baseball, fans are buying into the idea of rebuilding. Fans, to me now, get as excited about rebuilding as about winning.
Totally.
And
I hate it.
But I think that's part of it, too, is that GMs don't feel the pressure from their fan base to make free agent deals to be an 85 win team. They are able to convince their fans that, look, if you're patient with us, we will be a 90 plus win team and go for championships. And I think all of these things are sort of playing into it, and it's making for I feel for these free agents. Services has always been paying for past performance. That's just the nature of free agency in sports. That hasn't changed. But I just think that, I don't know if you make changes in the next CBA to change the way players are paid perhaps for the first 6 years. But it certainly feels different this winter. And I just think there's a lot of things going into that.
Adam McAlvey, MLB.com, Brewers.com, here on Hot Stove Weekly, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We just talked to one of Craig Counsell's outgetters, and that's Josh Hader.
Yeah, he's been trained.
I know. And I asked a question to David Stearns last week on the air about Josh's role, and he had said it wouldn't surprise him, or whatever, however he put it, that he will do both starting and relieving. Now, it could be fun with words and fun with sentences. You could twist that around a couple of different ways. Your thoughts on that Josh Hader situation, where, you know, I'm trying to figure out what he meant by that. And you're obviously not going to go from the bullpen to starting throughout the whole season, but I could see him starting in the bullpen and midseason or later getting moved to the starting rotation. Does that make sense?
Well, or it's even more nebulous than that, is that he's primarily in the bullpen, but when there's good matchups, when there's a need, when you need to give other guys a blow, when there's a string of 20 games in a row with no off days, you start him occasionally.
But would it be a shorter start, though, then?
I think it would be. It would be a three-inning start or something like that. Hmm. I think that, you started this by calling him an out-getter. I just think, in general, Craig Counsell and David Stearns and Matt Arnold and Carl Miller and the others in the front office, they are thinking differently about using pitching. And they're not, Brewers aren't, I'm not trying to say they're the only team doing this, but I think Craig Counsell has been an early adopter in the regular season of using his pitching a little differently. You can't do it like they do in the postseason over the course of 162. You do need, on some level, to have some kind of roles. You need to get innings from your starters in order just to fill the games over 162 in the regular season. But he has been, I thought he was pretty creative with the way he used Josh Hader, especially as Hader got built up and got some experience at the end of last year. And I think the addition of Boone Logan is really critical for this club. Assuming Logan is healthy, that can be your Joey Votto guy. And it frees Josh Hader to be your, I want to use him in the fifth inning when I think there's a good stretch of batters where I can get two innings out of him, three innings out of him. And I think it frees you to really use Josh Hader in some creative, interesting, ways that you have this other lefty out there. And look, I mean, Suter might end up being in that bullpen as well. So you could have three lefties out there. Mm. So, yeah, I think they're going to resist applying a label, what we think of, you know, starter versus reliever, to Josh Hader all season. I don't think we're going to get the answer any of us want on Josh Hader. I think Council is just going to fight us on that all the way, and they're going to use him in some different situations.
I got a couple of different things that I really think this team could use going into next year, and one of them is clarity at what's going to happen at second base. Tim's very sold on the ability of Jonathan VR to give a couple of months to see if he's able to take that job over. Or do you see them that being a move where they go outside of the organization? There's a couple of guys, Adam, I know trading in the division is tough, but I think Josh Harrison would look really good at the Brewers' second base spot.
Yeah, and the Pirates are making trades where you look, okay, the Astros had to give up for Garrett Cole wasn't terrible, you know, didn't hurt them that badly. So if the Pirates are going to make a deal and it won't hurt you that badly, Harrison could make sense. I think Neil Walker is still in play for the Brewers. He was a guy, you know, probably in his heart, he wanted a four-year deal going into this winter and maybe would take three. And now it's looking, you know, I don't know what his offers look like or what his market looks like elsewhere, but you haven't heard his name much, at least I haven't. So maybe he's going to end up having to take a shorter-term deal. Mm-hmm. And I think he could come down to the Brewers again as well. And look, the possibility exists, I think, that it is VR and Sogard. That worked for a time last year. VR had stretches where he was, a useful player. And Sogard had a stretch where he was outstanding. I'd love to have seen what would have happened with Eric Sogard's year had he not turned his ankle. Was that right around the All-Star break where he kind of went downhill after getting hurt? A platoon there could work because Johnny VR, right-handed, was quite effective in 2016, gave you some pop, and, those two guys could work. To me, the thing about VR is you offered him $23 million in, about a year ago this time. I don't know that a terrible year, one bad terrible season, makes you totally discard that evaluation. In other words, I don't think you're willing to give him $23 million in January, and then by October you're just willing to cast him aside.
Agreed.
There's something in the middle there for Jonathan VR. He is still a young player in terms of major league experience. I know he frustrates people. He does some things on the bases. He does some. The strikeouts are last year were totally out of control. I just think there, if you're patient with him, there could be a payoff there.
Final thing for you, Adam. People ask me about what's needed for the Brewers heading into this season, and there's a lot of different answers. But my answer is, they're still a bullpen arm short, and I'm a little concerned at the backup plan. I like Corey Knebel; had an outstanding year, the All Star, the whole nine yards. I get it.
Yeah.
But what if, and that to me is a real pivotal point here. Can they get a power arm out there, a Swarzak type, to get in that mix with Jefferson, Hader, and Knebel?
Yeah, Swarzak would have looked really good coming back if you were confident that he could repeat the year that he had last year, because he made that bullpen pretty good by pushing everybody else down a spot. And I agree with you, Corey Knebel now is going to have to prove this over the course of a year. He was really, really good and really saved the Brewers last year, replacing Neftali Feliz. That was, that could have been disastrous for this for that team, losing a closer that you invested in. And Knebel made it pretty seamless.
Is it Jeffress then? If things break camp now, would it be Jeffress if Knebel, say, gets hurt or underproduces?
Well, probably if Jeffress can get back to what he was as a Brewer. I mean, Jacob Barnes is a guy that's, again, in terms of major league experience, he's not a finished product, and he frustrated at times last year as well, but that's a pretty good arm, a power cutter that can be very effective. So those, you know, Taylor Williams, Tim, I mean, if he's going to have to prove he's durable. I think he starts in the minor leagues, but I think he's a guy the Brewers are very high on, and I don't know if it's a starter or a reliever at this point. But he's a guy I think that could be really exciting at the back end of your bullpen, perhaps by the end of next season. But look, there's room to add, and the good news is there's like 150 players sitting out there waiting to find homes. And many of them are relievers. I know Addison Reed signed, but, you know, Oh, the former Cardinals closer is sitting out there. I don't have the list in front of me, but there's still guys to be had. So if they want to add a bullpen arm, an experienced pen arm, those guys are available. And, you know, again, I think I have a very strong sense this rotation is not finished. I think they do. I don't know that it's Darvish or Arrieta, but there's a notable name, in my opinion, coming to this Brewers rotation. And then that pushes everybody down. And if Jimmy Nelson really is ahead of schedule, when I talked to him last week, I know you guys saw that story, where he's feeling really good about his chances to miss less of the season than perhaps they thought he was going to miss. And there's no date circled or anything like that. But, you know, it's in his view, it sounds like well before the All-Star break. If he's in the mix and Chacin is good and, you know, they get something out of Yovani Gallardo, everybody else kind of gets pushed down. And now maybe Junior Guerra becomes a pen arm for you. There's a power bullpen arm.
That's true.
You know, there's other you sort of – if you can get someone else at the top and sort of push everybody down, you start to look a little deeper than you were. But I agree with you. They're thin in pitching right now. And I think that's partly a factor of just this offseason moving so slow.
I'm nervous for Yovani. You mentioned his name. I really am. You know what? He's got written all over it. This is assuming they sign a starter. Okay, let's say they sign another starter. Yovani has it written all over him that he's 10 days before camp breaks. Hey, we're going to turn you loose so you can find
a job. Chamberlain.
Kind of
written
guy.
All over it, yeah.
Yep.
Well, look, I mean, that's the biz. So from his point of view, he picks the spot that he thinks he can have the best chance to make a club. The analytics like what he did at the end of last year. The velo was back a little bit. That really helps for when he was good. A lot of that was that power fastball curveball combo. And if he can be, you know, more 93-94 than 90-91, he's got a shot. And look, his deal has incentives for bullpen work. And I think they're going to look at him pretty seriously for both.
Yeah, wow.
So he's a guy who could be in the mix.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, Adam, we'll turn you loose here. We'll see you on Sunday at On Deck, all right?
All right, see you guys.
There he is, Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, our insider joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank, committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com.